I'm Michael Fullilove, and I'm delighted to be here with my Lowy Institute colleague, Richard McGregor, for a quick chat about US politics. Both the betting markets and the polls have Joe Biden as the favourite to win in November. The big news in the US presidential race this week is Joe Biden's decision to pick the Californian Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate. It reminds me again of the role of contingency and chance in US politics. VP choices transform an individual's life, they upend US politics, and in fact, they can change the world, as we found with Harry Truman and Lyndon Johnson. In addition to being a leading international expert on China, Richard McGregor is a student of US politics, and he headed up the Washington office of the Financial Times for a number of years. So welcome, Richard.
Hi there, Michael.
So what do you make of the Kamala call? Was this a good pick?
Well, it seems to have gone off very well at the start. She's both paradoxically energizing, if you like, but also a conventional Democrat. In other words, many people have assumed simply because she's from a minority background that she's somewhat radical, but that's not the case within the Democratic Party. She has Indian American heritage and her father was Jamaican. And so that does give her broad appeal within the Democratic Party, but her policies are quite mainstream. She's also proved difficult, I think, partly because of that, for the Republican Party to draw a bead on her at the start. I mean, mm-hmm. Republicans are very good at getting talking points about people. Trump is very good at nailing people initially and then repeating those talking points until they really stick. Mm. But after she was named, they really struggled, actually. For example, Donald Trump's former campaign manager said immediately that the Bernie bros, that is, you know, Senator Bernie Sanders' radical supporters, had got burned. And a few minutes later, the head of the Republican National Congress committee came out and said that the radicals in the Democratic Party had taken over and were going to drag Joe Biden further to the left. So they were confused. The Democratic Party seemed very happy. And of course, we should say above and beyond all of that, she's an accomplished public figure in her own right. She was Attorney General of California, which is important. That's a big job. Mm-hmm. And she's also now a US Senator. So it's early days, but I would say Joe Biden, his campaign would be very happy with how it's gone. Well, what about yourself? I mean, do you see any particular qualities in her that are important?
They look like a winning team, don't they? I mean, there's a good buzz. They're a nicely balanced ticket. She brings youthfulness and energy. They're from different sides of the country. I mean, the other candidate that people were talking about was Susan Rice. And of course, the foreign policy wonk labor union, of which I'm a card-carrying member, would have loved to have seen someone like Susan Rice go from being a foreign policy expert to vice president, potentially president of the United States, without actually ever stopping in elected office on the way. But I think that would have been risky for the campaign and indeed perhaps for the administration. I think being president is a profoundly political job. And the Trump experience shows us you should have some political experience before you run for the office, let alone before you hold it. And Susan Rice is an enormously accomplished person, but it's been within a narrow field. She's lived a whole life in Washington, D.C. So although I admire Susan Rice, I think Kamala Harris seems like a better choice to be vice president. And I think you're right about that. I think it's had a good impact in the first 24 hours. And one interesting thing is when new kind of opposition figures bamboozle the government of the day, that's often an indication that they're going to go well. I remember back when Mr. Howard, for example, became opposition leader a long time ago in 1995, and the then Labor government couldn't get a fix on Howard. And at one time they'd say he's radical, and at the other time they'd say he's too cautious. It's a bit like Keir Starmer now. The Johnson government can't quite get an angle on Starmer, and it feels a bit like that. Obviously this is very early days, but it feels like the Trump administration don't know whether to say Biden and Harris and the Biden-Harris tickets are these crazy, radical leftists, or they're just sort of boring and half asleep on the job. And that's probably a good place to be. Let me ask you, Richard, let's go beyond the campaign. If Biden-Harris were to be successful, what kind of VP do you think Senator Harris might turn out to be?
Well, one shouldn't exaggerate the importance of vice presidents. I mean, we all tend to do that in the moment. You know, on foreign policy, for example, Joe Biden was a long-standing chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, has long-standing contacts all around the world, including most famously with Xi Jinping, with whom he spent a lot of time in 2012. So I very much feel that Joe Biden will be his own president on foreign policy. They differ a little bit on trade. I think Joe Biden is, you know, Kamala Harris opposed the TPP, but I think she's being Californian, more liberal on trade than Joe Biden, and she might be have an impact in that respect. I think an area that the Democrats want to work on, and the kind of area that could be delegated to her, is climate change. You know, she's got long involvement in that as California. There's precedent for this with Al Gore, for example. And I don't know whether the Democrats want Mr. Biden to expend his political capital, as some people, I think, complained that Mr. Obama did, got caught up in climate change and sort of neglected other parts of foreign policy, particularly with China. That's the sort of thing I think that she could do. And obviously, she'll be working on issues like criminal justice reform domestically, and maybe Medicare. She got into a bit of trouble on that, on health policy, during the campaign. But they're the sorts of areas that I see her being involved in.
It's, I mean, one interesting point about a potential Vice President Harris is that there's a lot of speculation that if the ticket is elected, Biden would be a one-term president. We can certainly say that Kamala Harris is more likely to become president than most running mates in history. And as a result, we would expect Harris probably to have more authority, to attract more attention and more interest than most vice presidents. It'll be interesting to see how the personal relationship develops, because you can imagine a slightly more competitive relationship between the two principals and their staffs. It's also interesting to think about other models for vice president. You know, you had someone like Dick Cheney, who was a sort of a separate power node in the White House, and people joked that he was the real president. That's not true. George W. Bush was the decider, as he said, but Cheney was kind of in many ways running a parallel operation and was enormously, especially in the first term, was enormously powerful, and Bush really reined him in a bit in the second term. Biden himself as vice president was a very different model. He was the quiet counselor. He was not seen in any way as a threat to Obama. I remember him saying in that conversation with Obama, when Obama asked him to be his running mate, he said, "I want to be the last person in the room with you before you make the big decisions." And I think Obama delivered on that. So probably, I'm sure that Biden would come to the White House with a very strong view on what kind of vice president he wants in Kamala Harris. I'm sure he probably wants someone like who performs the kind of role he performed for Barack Obama. But whether that's in Kamala Harris's DNA is another question, because she's a younger politician than Biden was when he became vice president, much younger, much more with a longer future in front of her. She's a different sort of personality. So be interesting to watch that relationship. What do you reckon?
Yes, well, I think that's, should they be elected, I think that's quite potentially destabilizing in many respects. As you say, Mr. Biden was very loyal, a quiet counselor for Mr. Obama, but I do remember when he split with him, and when he got out ahead of Mr. Obama on some issues, most famously on gay marriage, where Mr. Biden supported it before Mr. Obama did, that caused a big ruckus. Mr. Obama was very upset about that. Joe Biden had very forceful views from Mr. Obama, I think, on U.S. wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. He wanted quicker withdrawals. And that was quite an issue at the time, but that was mainly behind closed doors. It seems to be now settled that Mr. Biden, coming in at 78, with already questions about his cognitive abilities, that he'll be a one-term president. And particularly once you get into the final 2 years of a presidency, then there's all manner of incentives for Senator Harris to distinguish herself from Mr. Biden, to be running a shadow campaign for the next presidential campaign, to try and win control of the Democratic Party as much as possible, so she has the machine, would have the machine behind her. So that's a very difficult thing to manage. And, you know, and if Joe Biden is only going to be there for one term, why should she stick with him like lips and teeth, as the they say, so closely, if there's an incentive to distinguish herself from him?
Speaking of lips and teeth and Asia and foreign policy, the last point, I guess, to discuss is what all this is likely to mean, if anything, for the foreign policy of a Biden administration. I went back and had a look at Senator Harris's questionnaire that she filled in for the Council on Foreign Relations last year, and it was pretty standard stuff in general, I thought, on foreign policy. Wasn't too much on Asia. Biden himself, you know, as you say, he emphasizes his personal conduct of foreign policy is very important to me. I think it's fair to say he's been more focused on Europe and Europe and the Middle East than he has been on Asia. It seems to me Kamala Harris's pick probably means that Susan Rice, whom we mentioned earlier, is in the mix for Secretary of State, along with Nick Burns, who's a friend of the Institute's, Tony Blinken, Bill Burns, Tom Donnell, and Samantha Power, whom I'm interviewing next week for the Lowy Institute Live. So I don't know what you think, Richard, but I think it will be the arrangement of personalities, as always, in those top jobs, if the ticket is elected, will be absolutely critical for Sec State, for Secretary of Defense, for National Security Advisor, White House Chief of Staff. The other key jobs in the Pentagon and State will tell us what kind of foreign policy we would get. Is it likely to be an Obama 2, or is it going to be different? Of course, the debate in Democratic politics on foreign policy, especially on Asia and especially on China, has changed very much in the last 4 years. So no doubt the administration would also be different. Do you have any early thoughts on this pick and Biden-Harris foreign policy?
Well, I think the pick is definitely important. If you look at Susan Rice, for example, some of the more hawkish elements in US politics on China, both in the Republican and Democratic parties, were very critical of her role in the second Obama term in basically giving priority to issues like climate change and Ebola pandemics in dealing with China, and really soft-pedaled on all manner of other issues, South China Sea and the like. Now, the times have changed, and Susan Rice's priorities no doubt will be different. But she, I think nonetheless, people say it won't be like Obama too, but if she were to be Secretary of State, too many people think that would be far too close for Obama to be comfortable. Ultimately, I think it depends on Joe Biden's instincts. You know, he was close to Xi Jinping. These days, he's called him a thug. Once again, the times are different. China is openly competing for global power now with the United States, and the United States is pushing back against that. It's difficult to see how they'll have any policy other than one that's tough on China, and certainly tougher than the one that Obama ran. But I guess it's a question of how tough and the ability of any Secretary of State and, of course, Secretary of Defense to work together and actually marshal comprehensively U.S. national power at a time, of course, and we forget about this, when the U.S. itself is still going through and will continue to go through domestic political convulsions, which I think ultimately will drain its both ability and funds and resources to maintain its global role, particularly in Asia.
Lots of things to analyse. Thank you very much for speaking with me this Friday morning, Richard McGregor, for a quick take on the Kamala Harris pick. For our fellow US politics wonks, please tune in on Friday, the 28th of August, when I interview Ambassador Samantha Power, the Harvard professor and UN representative in the Obama administration, for the Lowy Institute Live. Thanks very much.